This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Thursday, December the 6th. We are going to talk about the gay marriage amendment or debate again this hour. On Monday at this time, we talked with a UW Oshkosh professor who was challenging the constitutionality of the marriage amendment that was approved by voters, constitutional amendment that was on the ballot last year. A ruling by a Dane County judge recently will allow William McConkie to proceed with his challenge of this amendment. He says that the wording of the amendment violates the state constitution in that it should have only asked one question. He says the constitution requires that all referendums ask only one question, but he says this one asked three questions. Anyway, his suit against the amendment can proceed, according to this Dane County judge. He talked with us about why he was challenging the constitutional amendment on Monday. We will get another side to this half hour, and we'll welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Julaine Appling, CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council. The council filed a friend of the court brief in this suit challenging the marriage amendment. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, so what was your reaction to the court ruling that allows this this challenge to continue?
Not surprising.
Why?
For a couple reasons. The judge ruled very liberally on standing, which, you know, I'm not an attorney, but our Alliance Defense Fund, who is helping us with this lawsuit, our attorneys there have indicated that that's not atypical. Basically, what the judge said last Wednesday in the hearing was that he would have found standing for basically any voter. So it wasn't something unusual about Bill McConkie or, you know, something unusual about this case. A voter who had cast the ballot in that election, according to this Dane County judge, would have had standing to bring a lawsuit. Now, obviously, we disagree that there should have been standing. We think that the suit should have been dismissed. You know, it's interesting on these constitutional amendments regarding marriage, Joy. You know, there's 27 states that have them now. A number of states are getting in line to put them on the ballot for this next election cycle. But in a number of those states that currently have the amendments in place, they've been challenged either before they went to the ballot or immediately after they were voted on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the state that is best suited for us to look at is Kentucky. Back in early 2004, I received a call from my peer in Kentucky who asked me for our marriage amendment wording, which we already had in place as far as the legislature was looking at it. And Kentucky absolutely borrowed word for word our amendment. They put it on the ballot in November of 2004, and about 10 days after the people of Kentucky had, with some kind of nearly 80%, as I recall, voter approval, passed that referendum, it was challenged. It was challenged on exactly the same basis as ours is being challenged. And the court dismissed it. In every state across the country where the amendment has been challenged, and most of the challenges have been on this two-subject, two-purposes idea,
yeah,
and the courts have dismissed them.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. He did. Mr. McConkie wanted to challenge this amendment as well, saying that it's discriminatory, but he was not found to have standing along those lines. But that as a voter, his rights were violated, and that he was voting on something that was asking more than one thing. And that's this. He says that not only was this going to prohibit gay marriage, but also civil unions between same-sex couples, or for that matter, opposite-sex couples.
Well, that's the allegation.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, in every court around the country where this very subject of does the entire question that was asked on the ballot deal with two separate subjects, the courts have ruled no. The entirety of the referendum is dealing with marriage. In our instance, we talk about a relationship that is similar or substantially similar, identical to that of marriage, a legal relationship, And what we're doing there is we're protecting the institution of marriage from being defrauded by lookalike marriages or relationships that are masquerading as marriage but are not marriage. Marriage is defined as a man and a woman. And so the second portion of the amendment, if you will, is dealing with keeping that in, making sure that that remains what it is, and that we don't have something come in by another name. I don't care what you call it, civil unions, domestic partnerships, you can call it anything you want. But if it looks like marriage and it has the trappings of marriage and we just call it something else, then it is marriage. And that's what the second part is. It is absolutely integral to the first portion that clearly defines marriage in Wisconsin as being between one man and one woman.
Yeah. Does it concern you at all, Ms. Appling, that when asked the questions separately, say in public opinion polls, do you support gay marriage? Most people would say, no, we don't support gay marriage. But when you ask, do you support civil unions? Most people would say, yes, we support civil unions.
Well, you know, first of all, civil unions are people act as if civil unions have some kind of a legal definition. They don't. Civil unions are whatever the entity that creates them wants them to be. Some may look just like marriage, like in Vermont. Some might look kind of like marriage. Some might just be a name for maybe one or two benefits that come with marriage. So, first of all, people don't always understand what they're talking about when they talk about civil unions. Secondly, I think it's a bit arrogant for people to challenge this amendment based on that argument. And the reason I say that is 59%, almost 60% of the people who went to the polls on November 7th and 06 voted yes on this amendment. Are we saying that they are so ignorant that they cannot determine what the amendment is saying and they don't understand the two related ideas that are in were in that question? I think that's absolutely arrogant. Wisconsinites aren't stupid. They knew what they were voting on. They had over 3 years to listen to the debate. And I firmly believe Wisconsin citizens understood that, Joy, that we were protecting the entire institution of marriage by that referendum that was voted resoundingly in favor of passage. And I think to say that we weren't smart enough to do it is just nonsensical.
Yeah. And do you know, Julianne Appling, if the states like Kentucky that had similar challenges also have similar wording in their state constitutions requiring all referendums ask only one question?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. You know, every state's constitution is slightly different. And, you know, I'm sure that will be the basis of the arguments that, you know, this is different from this state because of the wording in our constitution, and the lawyers are going to have to battle this out. But I think what is most important here is we the people spoke. On November the 7th of 06, we the people went to the polls. We voted 59.4% to 41.9%, or 41.6%, in favor of protecting marriage. And the reason we did this, and I'm sure you'll recall this, one of the reasons we put forward for the necessity of this was it's for the people to decide what marriage will be in the state of Wisconsin, not for a court. So here come the people again who say, we aren't happy with the decision of the legislature. We aren't happy with the decision of the people when they spoke on November 7th. So we're going to go once again to the mechanism we found most in our favor, and that's the court, so that we could have a single judge overturn nearly 60% of the people of Wisconsin. Makes no sense to me.
We are talking about a legal challenge to the state's newest constitutional amendment, the marriage amendment that bans gay marriage and civil unions. Talking about this legal challenge that was okayed, it was cleared to proceed in the courts last week. We heard from the plaintiff, I guess, in this case on Monday. Now we are hearing from the other side. Julianne Appling is CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council. The council filed a friend of the court brief in this suit challenging the state's marriage amendment. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, we'll talk about credit card problems in our first half hour. And after 8:30, we will welcome in CNN anchor and author Lou Dobbs. So another two-for-one in our next hour. We are talking about a challenge to the state's marriage amendment. We heard from a UW Oshkosh professor on Monday who is challenging the legality of Wisconsin's newly adopted constitutional amendment that bans gay marriage and civil unions. His case was given a green light by a Dane County judge last week, saying he could proceed with the lawsuit on the grounds that the question that was being asked on the ballot was actually three questions, not one. Bill McConkie believes that his rights as a voter were violated and that he couldn't vote for the three questions separately. So we are getting a different perspective on his lawsuit in this half hour with a guest that fought for this amendment in the first place and filed a friend of the court brief in this suit. Julaine Aplin is CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council. And our first caller for her is Pat in Richland Center. Hi, Pat.
Well, good morning, Joy. I have two questions for Ms. Aplin. The first one is, can we assume, Ms. Aplin, that the reason you're taking this position on this issue is your goal is a more civilized society?
Hmm. Well, the reason that we entered into this through an amicus brief with the Alliance Defense Fund was because we think we should respect the democratic process and that it should not be overturned and abrogated by a court ruling. That's the process we have. I don't see it as related to civilizing a society. To me, is a lot bigger than a court case.
Yeah. Thank you, Pat. Joel in Madison is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Are you there?
Yes.
Well, I'm really distressed that your guest describes people who are trying to get rights for all people in Wisconsin as being arrogant. Her whole process is what's arrogant. She keeps pointing to the will of the majority. I was just at the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, and in Mississippi in 1961, the will of the majority was African Americans couldn't attend the University of Mississippi.
Yeah, how is that? How is the vote in this on this constitutional amendment different than that, Julaine Aplin?
Well, it is substantially different. People have tried to raise this argument, make the analogy that people seeking same-sex marriage are the same as a racial minority, and that's just simply not the case. This is about the institution of marriage. It isn't when people get married, when a man and a woman get married, we're black and white, Asian, whatever, Caucasian, whatever the male-female race combination might be, we're bringing together races and we're bringing together the sexes. That's what marriage is designed to do. It is not designed to bring together same-sex relationships, regardless of race. This is fundamentally about the institution of marriage in the way it has been historically practiced, the way that it has been historically designed. I submit here again that government did not design marriage. Government does not have a right to redesign marriage. Court doesn't have a right to redesign and redefine it. What we're talking about in this court case is that if people disagree with this amendment, then they should go through the same legislative process that we went through to get the amendment in place. Take it to the people through the elected representatives, put it to the legislative scrutiny through two consecutive legislative sessions, separated, I might add, by an election. One of the wonderful things about our democratic process, Joy, is that the way we've structured the process by which we amend the Constitution in this state is you have to do it two consecutive legislative sessions, and there is an election there. And if the people don't like the way the representatives voted on the first go-round, then vote them out and get new people in to vote differently the second time, because all it takes is a change in the wording or a sufficient number of no votes to toss the whole thing out and you have to start over again. If people are not happy with this amendment, then go through that process. Take it to the people through a referendum, just as we did. Don't take it to the courts. That's not part of the way that this should be done.
Next, we'll go to Louise in Hillsborough. Hi, Louise.
Yes, I guess I'm pretty distressed about this whole thing. I feel that discrimination on any level is just that, discrimination, and it should continue to be fought, and it will be challenged and challenged and challenged until you understand that people who work and pay taxes in this country have rights, and that's all I have to say. I think we'll continue to challenge it until discrimination has been faced.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, I understand what these folks are saying, and I understand their consternation, but the truth is that this amendment is not discriminating. Anyone can get married as long as you play by the rules. We don't, you know, when people get disgruntled in a sport, we don't change the rules because they get disgruntled and claim they're being discriminated against for some reason. In this particular issue, with the stakes being very high, because children need both moms and dads, statistics show repeatedly and in incredible numbers that what's best for children is to be with their married mothers and fathers. When we start talking about marriage and redefining it to accommodate other kinds of combinations, we're putting children at risk, we're putting our society at risk, and anyone who wants to play by the rules may marry. As long as you are over 18, as long as you are not already married in this state, and as long as you're not marrying somebody closer than a second cousin, you can get married in this state. Now, the fact is the government is blind to whether or not you are in a, quote, loving and committed relationship. That's the language that we hear a lot of times. Sure, love is a major portion of marriage, but that's not the sum total of it. There's all kinds of other things that go with that, and the government's blind to that. What they want to know is, are you meeting the standards of the law? And if people will meet those standards, they can get married. So this is not discriminatory. It's just that the people who disagree with this believe that the rules should be changed to accommodate them.
Next, we go to Denny in Beloit. Hi, Denny.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My main question is, I've heard the guest, I believe Kathy is your name, say several times that that the democratic process shouldn't be overturned by the courts, but isn't part of our democratic process having the courts review the constitutionality of all legislation amendments? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, and our guest's name is Julaine Appling.
And that's fine. I've been called a lot worse, Joy. The part of our democratic process, I would submit, does involve the courts, absolutely. However, when the people have voted on an amendment of this nature, and we've gotten, in a state like Wisconsin, a 59.4, nearly 60% vote is nothing to take lightly. It's a sizable vote. And I believe that that vote and expression of the will of the people should be respected. Now, obviously, our process allows for court challenges, and I just find it fascinating, by the way, that Bill McConkie looked all over the state and said, oh, I wonder where I should file this, and chose Dane County. You know, quite frankly, I guess if I were doing what he's doing, I might choose Dane County. I'd probably find a friendlier court there. But the fact is that the courts are allowing this to go through. Our point and position will continue to be that, number one, the case should have been dismissed on its merits. Secondly, our position will be that as it continues through the courts, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see this reach the state Supreme Court, that the court, in looking at this, will, number one, find it not in violation of any portion of our Constitution, and secondly, that they will respect the expressed will of the people. And yes, that is all part of the democratic process. What we hope in all of this is that we find that we have judges sitting on the benches of our courts that will be hearing this case who will not be legislating from the bench or ruling with a personal agenda.
Thanks to Denny. Next is Jeff in Madison. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how's it going? I just think the current speaker is saying that it's arrogant that people have these feelings that we should overturn this legislation. I just think that it's kind of an arrogant view to say that.
Well, she didn't say it was arrogant to overturn it. She said it was arrogant to assume that voters didn't know what they were voting for.
Okay. Maybe it's just time that we redefine the definition of marriage. Because I'm completely for marriage between two men and two women.
Well, I would say, Justin, put it to the same process that we put this through to get this amendment in place. Take it to find a legislator who's willing to introduce that, to put it through the two sessions and then get it on the ballot for the people of the state to vote on. You know, I don't know why. I can speculate why this happens, but it seems to me that folks who are looking to redefine marriage rarely use the legislative process with elected officials in place where people can weigh in with their opinions through that process. They jump directly to the courts. And, you know, Massachusetts is the most obvious example of that. We're where we are today in Wisconsin, by the way, because in August of 2003, we tried to change the statutes of in our current marriage statutes. We got it passed in the Assembly and the Senate, and Governor Doyle vetoed it, and within 10 days, the Massachusetts decision was handed down by that state's high court that said, we don't care what the legislature says, we don't care what the people said, this is going to be the new definition of marriage in Massachusetts. And that's what pushed us into an amendment mode. You know, everybody has the same opportunity we had as people who are interested in this to get the constitutional amendment referendum before the people.
Yeah, we have less than a minute to go. You expect this could end up in the state Supreme Court?
Well, you know, knowing the nature of the courts, knowing the nature of this issue, it would not surprise me. Obviously, we'll continue to do everything that we can to continue to support traditional marriage and traditional family here in the state. And if it means staying involved with the court cases, it works its way through our judicial system, so be it. We think it should be dismissed, but we'll ride it out.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Julaine Appling is CEO of the Wisconsin Family Council, talking about a challenge to the state's constitutional amendment that bans gay marriage and civil unions. We talked with the person bringing that suit on Monday. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.